1 Corinthians 12, we're going to pick up in verse 4. We'll ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we ask that you help us. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, as we come to you, we pray that you would open our hearts, reveal thy truth to us, unseal the book, O God. We pray, O God, that you'd give us understanding. Father, in anything spiritual, Lord, in the simplest thing of opening up the Word of God, we cannot discover the truth in and of ourselves, but we must have it revealed to us by thy Spirit. You must uncover it. You must reveal it. Father, to those that are outside of Christ, the truth of God is a mystery. They cannot solve it. That's why you spoke to many in parables in the days of your flesh. But Father, you told your apostles, and I believe you've given it unto us to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And I pray that we would never take that responsibility or that privilege lightly. Because you also warn us, to whom much is given, much is required. And so, Lord, help us this night to be good stewards of your word. Father, not just to hear it and learn it and have knowledge of it, but then to go out and live it and to practice it. Father, let us not be those ones like those whom Jesus spoke to when he said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Oh God, that is very dishonoring to you. I pray that that would not be us. We who are your children, Lord, help us. We need your grace this night. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, this morning, the primary feature that we spoke of, or the primary component in your life, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, will be that Jesus Christ is your Lord. He's your Lord. If he's nobody else's Lord, he's yours. So many today will tell you that they are filled with the Holy Ghost. You'll hear them say that. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, who are ungodly and unholy, and who do not submit to the authority of Jesus Christ, neither do they confess him to be Lord. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and told them, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant." And that is of their use and place in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In review, there were those in the church at Corinth who desired spiritual gifts, who, because they were gifted, thought themselves to be the most spiritual in the church. There may be those like that now. The preacher might think that since he's gifted to preach, he's the most spiritual. Not so. Not so. And so we must never think ourselves to be better or more spiritual than any other believer, perhaps because we have greater responsibility or greater gift. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For what hast thou that thou hast not received?" Talking about those when they confessed allegiance to certain preachers. "What hast thou that thou hast not received?" i.e. from God. "Now if thou hast received it from God, why dost thou glory as though thou hadst not received it of God? Or why do you glory as if you got it of yourself?" And so if you're gifted, it's not from you, it's from God, and it's for use in his church. And so our value is to be to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to call attention to ourselves. But again, there were those in the Corinthian church who desired spiritual gifts. And because they were gifted, they thought themselves the most spiritual. But the most spiritual ones in the church were those who knew and confessed by the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ was both Lord and Savior. Brethren, don't be led into the trap. Don't be led astray into the trap of thinking you're spiritual just because you're gifted or because you have a talent or an ability. And don't worship and exalt yourself or the spiritual gift that God has given you. Now, if God has gifted you as a believer, and he has, listen, if you're a believer in Christ, he's given you something for the church. He's given you something to serve him, doing. And you may say, well, all I do is empty the trash, or all I do is sweep the floor. Well, then, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. If that's what the Lord's gifted you to do, if it's something menial, don't think of it as menial. If you just cut the grass, then cut your Father's grass, your Father in heaven. If it's God's grass, then that's pretty important. And so, beloved, God has given you something as a child of God to do for His honor and His glory. So He's gifted you with a talent or an ability, and it's not to be used again for your glory, for your exaltation, but for the edification and the building up of the church of Christ and for the advancement of His kingdom. But understand that in the time of the Corinthian church, the apostles of Christ were still very active. So this is a different time. Things were happening in Corinth, which is simultaneous almost to the writing of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Things were happening then in the apostolic era that are not happening now. The apostles of Christ were still very active in confirming disciples and calling elders and pastors and deacons to the first churches. And that's what was happening. And the apostles were still at this time empowered to work miracles, signs, and wonders. They were still doing those things. Just to cite a few, the lame man was healed by Peter and John when they walked into the temple, Acts chapter 3. Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead, dropped dead at the word of Peter, who discerned them to be lying to the Holy Ghost. Pretty fearful thing. Peter raised Tabitha, also called Dorcas, that woman who was raised from the dead. Paul, who had the poisonous viper latch onto his hand after the shipwreck, was unharmed, and so on. You could see those things that were happening. Also in this time, miraculous gifts and abilities were bestowed upon ministers and disciples in the churches, which were given by the Spirit of God. Again, not to magnify the recipient of the gift, but for the profit, edification, and building up of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. At this time, the apostles were still actively preaching. They were actively teaching and writing the word of God, all by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Peter's sermon, Pentecost, recorded, and now we have it written in Acts chapter 2. They were recording and establishing the doctrines of the faith. We learn apostolic doctrine, the doctrine of the apostles. So they were establishing and recording the doctrines of the faith and the teachings of the New Testament church. And so these signs and miracles by the apostles validated and certified that the word of God, which they spoke and recorded, was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was inspired, given. They were carried along, as we'll see in a moment in 2 Peter chapter 1. But look at 1 Thessalonians. Let me just show you these passages. Brethren, these things were recorded by many witnesses, and they are written and passed down through the ages for the edification of the church. When you look at the epistles, when you open the epistles of the churches, Corinth, Philippi, Colossae, the book of Galatia, the Roman church, to the saints at Rome, to the churches, Thessalonica, the apostles were writing to the churches. And listen, when they receive these letters, you may be in the church of Thessalonica and you receive one letter and they read that and they learned from it and they preached it and they taught the doctrine of the apostles. They didn't go to church with Bibles. Think about going to church at that time. You were hearing the inspired truth of God's word passed directly from the apostles, sometimes in person, sometimes Paul in person, or Timothy, who was the son after the Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. And then sometimes the apostle Paul, when he made his apostolic journeys. But these people were listening to the apostles and the Spirit of God was moving. And so they didn't have chapter and verse. Show me a chapter and verse. They didn't have that. They simply had the apostles themselves and then the elders that they called. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God, Paul says, without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us. Ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That word effectual is the Greek word energio. It was active. It was operative. This was supernatural. And listen, it should be no different now. I mean, think about what we have. We have the complete canon of Scripture. We have the writings of the apostles. We have the writings of the prophets. We have the gospels, the four gospel accounts of that one gospel of Jesus Christ. We have it all. So should we not have a greater faith? I mean, think about what we have. We carry around the complete canon of the Scripture, the book with the seven seals. And now we just call upon the Spirit of God to unseal it for us. We have it all. It's an amazing thing. 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, we believe by faith just like they believed by faith. Sometimes I think that we are at a disadvantage because we have the complete canon of Scripture. Maybe that's our disadvantage. But we must believe through faith just like they did. Here Paul tells Timothy all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you know what he had it in? A scroll. He had a piece of paper. And you know how the word of God then was translated and passed down? A disciple would say, I need a copy of the book of Romans. So they didn't go down to Office Depot and get a copy of it. They took out the quill and the pen and the inkwell and began to write. And that's how they wrote. And you know what encourages me so much is if I took a document and passed it to Miss Wieda, and I said, copy this document, Miss Wieda. And Miss Wieda would copy it, and then you passed it to my wife, and you passed it to Chris and Tammy, and then Charlene, and Ben, and Deborah, and Patrick, and passed it all the way around. And Yvette was the last one, and I got it back. There would be missing punctuation. There would perhaps be misspelled words. There would be things that would be imperfect, let me say that. We are imperfect people with the perfect word of God. Now, it's recorded that there are over 400,000 interlineations in the translations that came down through the ages. But when they combined all the transcripts, even, and this shows me that God is sovereign and he's preserved his word, even with the missing comma, missing colon, missing words here and there, there was never and has never been any errors in the doctrines of the faith. God has preserved his word with imperfect men transcribing it down through the ages. Isn't that amazing? And then here we have it in our laps. Here we have the truth of God's word. Second Peter. I like what Peter says here. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. He says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. God preserved his word. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, as they were moved, or as it means, as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. Now turn back to Hebrews, one more reference, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verses 1 to 4. Hebrews 2, verses 1 to 4. And so, these churches were getting scrolls. They were getting transcribed documents. They were getting the letters, the Roman letter. They were getting the epistles, and they were passing it down, and they were preaching from those, and they were reading them to the churches, and they were being strengthened in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, Hebrews 2, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, which we're speaking about in 1 Corinthians, according to his own will. So God confirmed them, bearing them witness. And so his word was confirmed by signs and wonders and miracles. So here Paul is teaching the Corinthian church that they were not to focus on themselves or on the gift that was given to them by God, but to use what God had gifted them to strengthen and edify and build up the church. And now, beloved, 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:4. I want you to note here in the first three verses of the text this morning, you'll see the Trinity, the Spirit, you'll see the Lord, which I think is the Lord Jesus, and you'll see God himself in verses 4-6. But let's read. Paul says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So verses 4-6, you see that word diversities. Now, in verse 4, you'll see diversities. In verse 5, you see differences. In verse 6, you see diversities. They're all the same Greek word. So Paul says there's diversities or distinctions or various gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences, or it's the same word, distinctions or various gifts and administrations, but the same Lord. And then he says there are diversities or various distinctions, but it is the same God. And it's the same God, the same Lord, and the same Spirit which makes all the gifts effectual or powerful in those that possess that gift. It's the same God, the same Spirit, the same Lord that makes the gift effectual, makes it operative. And so those gifts are for the strengthening and for the building up of the church. They're that the church might be strengthened in the faith. So all of these various and diverse gifts were being apportioned to the church, to individual members, by the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God sovereignly saw fit according to his sovereign will. He distributed them, as verse 11 says, severally as he would. Then verse 7, Paul says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man or every member of the body who have been gifted by God to profit withal. Or God, gifts were given to the church for the common good and edification of the entire body of Christ and to profit the whole church. And so when God builds his church, he puts different pieces in so that all the pieces are not the same, and they don't all do the same things. We don't have a church full of preachers. We don't have a church full of deacons. We don't have a church full of people that sit and listen. But God balances and he distributes those various and diverse gifts severally as he will. Now turn back to Romans, because Paul spoke to the Romans about this. Romans 12:3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. 3-8 of Romans. So gifts were given to the church for the common good and edification of the entire body of Christ. And God knows exactly and precisely how to fit living stones into his church. And he knows exactly who to bring, and he knows exactly who to give that gift for the edification of the church. So Romans 12 and verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, that is at the church of Rome, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." We have different measures of faith. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." That is, without hypocrisy or without pretense. It says, "Or he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." And so we see that's a good cross-reference, and Paul sets out how we ought to behave ourselves in the body. Now to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Ephesians 4:1. So remember, Paul says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man or every member in the body who have been gifted by God to profit withal." Now, I think I said this already, but maybe I've got the mention, I don't remember. If God has saved you and set you in the church, he did not set you in here to do nothing. He set you in here to be an active, participating member of the body. If one part of your body never moves and does anything, it's going to atrophy and die. So God does not save anyone for them just to do nothing. So there is something for you to contribute to the body of Christ, to the edification of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Some commands for us as members are to every one of us. These three verses are that. Paul says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walk worthy of the name Christian. Walk with lowliness and meekness. Be long-suffering. Forbear one another in love. Endeavor, or the word means make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the church. And these are those that were gifted for the teaching and preaching in the church. To do what? For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry. for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. You want to find out what kind of Christian you'll be without the church and without a pastor? You'll be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The worst thing about it is if you think you don't need the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're self-deceived. You need the church. Paul says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, means the body supplies itself. And it says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And what that means is when each part of the body is working properly, the body is healthy and it strengthens itself. And so God has gifted every member of the body of Christ to contribute to the health of the body or of the New Testament church. So back to 1 Corinthians. So then in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11. And listen, there's no doubt some of these gifts, these were gifts that were supernatural when you read them, as we read through the text here. In verse 11, Paul says all of these gifts were made effectual by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God apportioned them. The Spirit of God gave them. The Spirit of God gifted those believers, those saints, those chosen saints at Corinth to have those gifts. He apportioned them, assigned them to them severally or to each saint as he willed. So these gifts of the Spirit were not given to the possessors of the gift for themselves. So understand that. They were not given for themselves, but for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And herein, all of us ought to see the importance of the local New Testament church, because God saves his people from their sins and he adds them to his church. And now verse 12, we'll read the balance of the chapter, and now it makes a lot more sense rather than just picking up in the middle of the chapter. So look, he says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, and you remember all this text from verses 4 to verse 11, we keep seeing that those words, the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit. And so now he says the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. See that? He has set every member in the body to its right place as it hath pleased him. And he gives every member of the body, get this, a use. A use. And listen, he even talks about those members of our body that we think don't have much use, but they are of use. Every member of the body is of use. And he says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. We can't say that of any member of the body of Christ. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Let me cut off your little toe and see how you walk. Actually, let me cut off your great toe. I broke my big toe one time, and the doctor calls it the great toe. I kind of like that. Cut both of your great toes off, and you can't stand. You can't balance. You need every one of your toes. I want all of my toes. But you don't think about it that much until it's broken or you don't have use of it. So those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary. There is no member, as feeble as that member may be, that is not necessary in the body of Christ. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. And he does that in the body of Christ. He tempers the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which is lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. He comes back to the church. God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Having all the gifts of healing? Or have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And we're actually going to pick up right there in the end of chapter 12 next time and talk about what does Paul mean when he says, okay, covet earnestly the best gifts. And we'll pick it up there next time. So for closing, brethren, remember that today there are no more apostolic miracles. But God does gift every member of his church to profit the church and for the edifying of itself in love, and for the building up of every saint of the church upon their most holy faith. So we are all members of one body, but we're all individual members. So we have differing gifts. We differ and we have differing gifts. We're not all the same, but we have been given a gift by the same Spirit to profit the one body of Christ. And so I pray that you would see that. And listen, there's something for you to do in the body of Christ. I pray you'd get that. Nobody, if you have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God is in you, the first thing is Jesus Christ is your Lord. And if Jesus Christ is your Lord, guess what you're going to want to do next? Serve. And so that's where we are. And where do you serve? There's going to be something for you to profit this body of Christ. And that's a healthy church. I mean, listen, if half of my body is sick, I mean, you know, when you're sick, your insides are sick. And so the whole body feels bad. And so, listen, Paul uses this imagery of the body to show us the perfect harmony of its the body of Christ and the systematic order of the body and how God balanced it and put it together perfectly. And that's how his church is going to be. Listen, he's building his church and he's building it with imperfect stones. He pulls us out of the quarry. And you remember when they built the temple, all the work was done in the field. There was no axe or no tool brought to the stones that were fitted into the church at the site. It was all done in silence. Beloved, we're getting that work done to us now. What do you call those things? We're being carved up and we're being shaped and fashioned and conformed for heaven now, so that when we finish our course, God's going to take us and fit us right into heaven. where there's no more work. The work's going to be done. And those stones that were fitted in, it was done. It was complete. And so, beloved, the church is a glorious thing. Well, if we would think little of the church, you know what? We're thinking little of Christ because it's his church. And he said, I will build my church. And so, amen. We'll dismiss there and we'll pick up next time and the end of chapter 12. Let's dismiss in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this passage. I pray that, Lord, you would help us, Father, to see that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And Father, you call us and you don't call us to the same service, Lord, in your church, but you do call every one of us to do something for you. And it's something that profits the body, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Father, to see what you would have us to do. And Father, that we would lean forward and that we would seek your face and Father, do what you would have us to do. You said we are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Father. And Lord, you are our Lord. You're our Savior and we want to serve you. And Father, where more to serve you? The greatest place is in your visible church, and we desire to do that. Bless your people this night. Father, send us home safely and bless, Father, your people with, oh God, quietness and rest this night. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just hold for a minute.
Okay. Does everybody, anybody have any heartburn if we had a conference in September, end of September, if we had some preachers?